Let us rise. To those who have obtained like precious faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The word of the Lord, which we consider, comes from Isaiah chapter 2. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful sloops. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, who was, who is, and who is to come, our Savior in flesh and in glory, Jesus Christ, dear elect of God, and all who are counted according to the universal atonement of Jesus Christ. That word Advent means coming. If you didn't know, it emphasizes the coming of Christmas, the Advent of Christmas, drawing ever nearer. It's 23 days until Christmas, a time of preparation. But more than shopping lists, meal planning, and all the other things that go into this season, it is to be a spiritual preparation, a preparation of the heart. As we consider the Song of Mary this Wednesday, we're going to see what that coming of Christ really means. As she sings, "He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." She really sings the fulfillment of Isaiah's words in our text, where Isaiah writes in verse 11, "The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." And yet, Christ is not limited to just one day. He's not limited to December 25th. He's not limited to just one day in your life. Rather, the day of the Lord is any day in which God brings salvation. It's any day where God testifies to the salvation that he's brought to us through Christ. The day in which the Lord alone is exalted. And he brings us salvation in three ways that we're going to consider today. In the coming of his flesh, in the coming into your heart, and in his final coming and day of judgment. Raise your hand if you've heard of Rick Warren. Rick Warren recently celebrated the 10th anniversary of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold over 3 million copies as of 2007. In his book and in his website, he pictures the better life, a more meaningful life for you, where by learning to change your behavior, you can have a relationship with God. As he puts it, God gives you a second chance, a do-over, a chance to do the things the way you wish you had. And he calls this being born again. Is this the purpose of the Lord's coming? Is the purpose of his coming to give us another chance to do things right? One more chance to do it all over and find something more meaningful? Verse 17 we read, "The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." That word haughtiness in the original language describes having an unwarranted assessment of yourself, thinking more highly than you ought. As Mary considers the birth of Christ, She says that he has shown the strength of his arm and scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. The day in which God entered into the world, into our life, into our sins, is a day in which we are all brought low. The event we call Christmas, where God became man, was to tear down every ladder we would build or impose on what God wants to give us. It's the day where the Lord alone is exalted. Because pride dulls our thinking. Pride dulls us into thinking about that the Bible is all about me and the things I can do to make things right. It dulls us into thinking that life is all about finding something more fulfilling for me by doing the right things. However, the Bible is not all about me. It's all about Jesus. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees saying, "You do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Meaning, and he was speaking to Pharisees who would have the Old Testament, the New Testament, they are all centered in glorifying the work of Jesus in the flesh. To bring our loftiness low. Because as soon as we start to play any part in the work that Christ came to do, we're really taking away the work that he has already done. A purpose that is purpose in my purpose is a purpose that takes away from God's purpose. Indeed, the purpose of our life is that the Lord alone would be exalted in every way. This is the day of the Lord's coming in the flesh. Many churches and pastors, like Rick Warren, will speak of being born again. They'll do so encouraging you to look to the time, the day, the hour in which you changed, in which you accepted Christ. And whether they know it or not, they're ultimately resting their assurance on a conscious commitment that they've done to choose the right path, to live a Christian life, and ultimately putting it on their own shoulders. As Mr. Warren himself put it, if you prayed and meant it in your heart, if you sincerely meant it, saying, "Yep, I'm stepping across the line," then you can have a meaningful relationship with God, spiritually reborn, a fresh start. Are these the type of things that Elijah is going to remember? No matter which way you slice it, pride is trying to lift its ugly head into this scenario, trying to get a foothold where there's some part that you have to play in God saving you. The Lord does not want us to be confused or focused on what I did to find Christ, but rather what he's done to find me. He wants us to see every day in which we hear and believe in the work of our Savior as the day in which he alone is exalted. The day in which he comes into our heart again and again through his word. As it says in verse 12, "The day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up shall be brought low." What are the cedars of Lebanon? Our text speaks of them. Towers and fortresses. The cedars of Lebanon were the prized commodity in Jesus' day and in Isaiah's day. A prized piece of lumber. The glory of that land. What are the precious possessions that we have in our life? Think of those commodities, those moments where we look up and no longer rely on the grace that has come to us. Our high mountains. The mountains we stand upon, trusting in our job, our abilities to solve problems, our skills with other people. Think of those towers and fortresses that we build to protect ourselves, to escape. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol. Those hidden things that we escape from this world. That we crowd ourselves around with. Those ships of Tarshish really picturing all things beautiful and how much we so often place an emphasis on outward beauty. Beautiful clothes, that newly renovated house, the beauty of our own looks, all bowed down. Because as the Lord comes into our heart, He has a purpose. He is purpose driven. And His purpose is to bring us low so that He can lift us up in Christ. To bring you to true repentance. To abandon any security that would let rest in me for eternal life. This small baby we saw this morning might look cute on the outside. But inwardly, he's full of that same corruption that you and I have. He's full of that same pride and selfishness. He might not be able to express it right now, but there's probably going to come a day where he'll speak his first word, and many times it's mine. Then there'll come a phase where he doesn't know how to control it, and everything is mine. And pretty soon, we see very clearly that children have a sinful nature. Then he'll reach the next phase, where he grows up to be an adult. And like all of us, he thinks the same things, but then he learns to cover it up. To hide it. Baptism is the means of God entering into our heart and rooting all of these things out and giving them to Jesus. Baptism takes away our sins, as Peter writes. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It has nothing to do with a certain time or a certain choice. What credit will Elijah claim in what happened here today? He was brought here by his parents. The water came from the other room. The word came from God. As Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, bring them, for of such is the kingdom of God." We read the same thing from our epistle reading, that not many noble and mighty are called, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But in Christ Jesus, we have righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Yes, the day of the Lord has entered. It's not really just one day. It's your whole lifetime. Your whole lifetime of always beating down that sinful flesh and receiving the forgiveness and life that consists in what Christ has done. It will be evident that you live that you have been clothed with Christ, for we can't be clothed with Christ and not wear it. Your purpose-driven life is to glorify God through daily repentance and a faith which expresses its love for Jesus. And how subtle that pride is. We see this in how Rick Warren describes his theology of sin. He admits that we're sinners. He admits that we're not perfect, but in fact, I think the whole world admits that. Who claims to be perfect? But pride wants you to say, "Well, I'm not perfect, but no one else is." What really matters is that I'm at least better than somebody else. Pride wants to sweep those things under the rug, to cover them up, which are so dreadful in every one of us, to forget about the day of God's coming for judgment. As it says in verse 10, "Enter into the rock, hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty." This is where we have to go if we cling to this concept that things aren't so bad. To be concealed, to be covered up, to not think about it. It's prophesied in the book of Revelation that the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks and said to them, "Fall on us and hide us from him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Who can stand? Who is able to stand? Remember this baptism. Remember your baptism. We began this service in the name of the Triune God, the name that was given to you when you were baptized. We draw near God's throne confessing our sins and being assured that for Christ's sake, you are fully forgiven. Through water and the word, Elijah was brought forward into God's presence, into his kingdom to receive these gifts. He was brought to the altar to proclaim praises and pray that God would be with him every day because he's going to struggle with the same things that you struggle with. Indeed, he entered into the day of the Lord. And God is eternal. The day of the Lord is eternal, meaning by faith in Christ, clothed with Christ, you go to judgment day and you go beyond. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Yes, he who believes and baptizes is saved. For you have been delivered in Christ by faith because the word tells you it is so. You are beyond judgment day right now because by faith you're in heaven. You are with God. Isaiah writes later in chapter 33, "The Lord is exalted, he dwells on high, he has filled Zion with justice and righteousness." This is the place where we gather near God's throne, in Zion, in the Holy Christian Church, where God brings us low and gives us all the gifts we could never imagine, so that there's no longer any doubt about our eternal destiny. A purpose-driven life. Ours is one purpose, to exalt the Lamb who was slain. As God says, through repentance and faith, that gives all glory to God through Jesus Christ. This is the day where God invades our life. The day of his coming in the flesh, the day of his coming into our hearts, and the day of his coming for judgment, where he will say to you, "Inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. He alone is exalted." Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with the singing of hymn 56 from the Lutheran hymn 56.